Blog Talk Radio.
Her
about what was going on. And in verse 8, Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, so not this was not on one occasion. He wanted to know what was going on with his wife because he loved her. He would say, Hannah, why are you weeping? And he would further ask, why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Well, of course, Elkanah did not understand what was going on with her, and so he knew the symptoms of her spiritual discontentment, but he had no awareness of the cause. He could see the symptoms of what was going on with his wife, and he knew that she was downhearted. Today we would say depressed or depressed. But this was a home of believers. Elkanah was a godly individual, and his wife Hannah was a godly individual. And I don't know that Penina was a very godly person, but this was the home of believers, and there was a very deep situation going on. In verse 10, we read that in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. She is very specific in her prayer to God. She asks for a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. Now, the title, once again, of this show is Exiting Spiritual Discontentment Through God's Power. The second book of the Old Testament is entitled Exodus, or The Way Out. The meaning of Egypt, as used in the book of Exodus, means double distresses. Double distresses. And so, Exodus means the way in. Exodus means the way out. Hannah is in spiritual crisis. She is not one to lash out, but she is one who keeps within her heart her situation and the depth and the magnitude of her spiritual discontentment. But notice in verse 10, we read, in bitterness of soul. Yes, she is a believer. She is a believing one. And the writer skillfully has written down or inscripturated for us what was going on with this believing one. She is facing a crisis. She has hit a wall, as it were, spiritually. And now she does not remain within, she does not remain institute, or she does not allow the status quo of her spiritual discontentment to go on. She is remarkable indeed, and we are able to see the robust spiritual foundation of her life. And we are given privy to her spiritual resilience in that she takes an action. She performs a positive action in order to be relieved of her condition. She goes before God. Verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed. to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty. Now, this prayer is very strategic. It is very detailed. There are no generalizations here. Hannah is not given to the meaningless use of adjectives in addressing God. She uses a specific name. Of all the names that we have for the Lord, she chooses this one because she is very intelligent, she is very astute, she is very cognizant of her soul's estate, and she knows what to do under the stress of what is going on within her. So this is a positive action taken on her part in order to come out of this spiritual crisis. So she uses the name Lord of Hosts or Lord of Armies. And literally that which goes forth for warfare. She knows that she is in the midst of spiritual warfare. And as one brother has wonderfully said, there are times when we face spiritual conflict that is on the outside, that is from outside, exogenous forces come, and we must address them through what God has left us, and that is given to us in Ephesians chapter 6. That is the divine armor. God has prepared us well through the armor of God in Ephesians 6 and through his word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Paul says also in Ephesians 6 that the capstone of our preparation is prayer. And so she knows this. She is a spiritual warrior who is under attack. Her soul is the battleground of this spiritual attack. Have you ever been there? Has your soul ever been the battleground of spiritual warfare? Have you ever had to wrestle with a situation that seemed malignant, that seemed impossible, and that you had no clarity about how to address it? Well, please look deeply into what Hannah is doing. She evokes the name of the Lord of Hosts. In the Old Testament, a name is not merely a simple semantic designation. In the Old Testament and in Hebrew cosmology, a name grants entrance into the character or grants entrance to the character of an individual. Lord of Hosts, Lord of Armies. In the Greek, the word is stratos. Again, going forth to war. She engages God at this level because this is where she is, and this is a highly meaningful name to her at this point in her spiritual struggle. She knows that her soul is the battleground. She understands this in bitterness of soul. She understands where she is. And she is not the only one in either the New Testament or the Old Testament who has had to understand that our soul at times become the battleground of spiritual warfare. Consider the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, which predates the book of Genesis by centuries. Job, the book of Job is so old that the Hebrew language and the other companion languages, Semitic languages, had not yet been divided off into different families. This is a wonderful and powerful book. Job seemingly is about human suffering or why believers suffer, but more than that, the premise of Job is the freedom of God. And that can either be comforting or terrifying, as it were. But there is suffering involved, as we all know. And we see that Job's very soul was the battleground of intense spiritual warfare, with his friends acting as therapists who only have a limited understanding from their particular therapeutic perspective. And each has a viewpoint that he shares about Job's experience. They seemingly arrived at the same conclusion that Job has sinned in some manner. And there are four in all of his, well, three are called his friends, and then at the end there's a young man who comes in, and he too, his words are, he has a particular algorithm that he believes is a substantive approach to what Job is spiritually facing. In fact, or indeed, each of them has a particular algorithmic protocol that is used in order to say, well, this is the way this situation in Job's life needs to be approached. And because each deals from a limited perspective, they reach the wrong conclusion about Job's situation. Neither of these individuals were given privy to the court of heaven and what God was doing within the life of his servant. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. She belonged to him. Yes, she was the temporal wife of Elkanah, but she belonged to God. And he had a specific purpose for her life. And in his time, he would bless her with a son. But you see, God allow this suffering to go on in Hannah's life in order to bring her, or to bring out the richness of her spiritual character. God was developing her, shaping her through suffering, sculpting, refining, bringing out what only His Holy Spirit can do within the life of an individual. God was allowing Hannah to exit her spiritual discontentment through the power of his Spirit. God is doing the same thing today in the lives of his own. Our exodus out of spiritual discontentment is through God's Holy Spirit. It is through God's power. Let's continue reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 12, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. So this was Eli's viewpoint of what was going on with her. I just want you to see that those who don't know you may skillfully be able to help, and then there are those who, in their preemptive judgment or prejudice about you, who don't even know what is going on, may do more harm. And the practice should always be to do no harm. Well, Eli did not understand that. Note that he was the high priest, and he should have been more skillful in the way he addressed Hannah. He should have been able to have an instrument available, if not physically in his hand, in his soul through his experience, and understand that appropriate soul care is not based on the preemptive judging of person. The cure of souls requires time and care and nurturing. And her reply in verse 15, she says, not so, my Lord. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. Well, that's my transliteration. In Hebrew, the word is a woman of Belial, that is, a woman of worthlessness. See, Hannah knows she is not a person of worthlessness or of worthless character. Now, Hophni and Phinehas, on the other hand, will meet that definition of worthless ones, which we will discuss at another time. But this woman knows who she is. This is a godly and very wonderful person who happens to be in the midst of a spiritual battle. And those on the outside don't understand many times, more often than not, what is going on, unless they too have been inducted into the school of suffering and therefore have gained some spiritual insight into spiritual warfare. So she says, no, do not take your servant for to be a woman of Belial. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and vexation. My great anguish and vexation. So she is remarkable indeed in that in the midst of her very great hurt, her very deep trouble, she is able to have awareness of what is going on. And I see that at the eye of the hurricane, her self-conscious awareness is that of God and herself. See, there, and the Scirocco was the hot, was the storm, the sandstorms that would take place on the desert, and will blow in with ferocious, hot, withering wind. And there was a Scirocco going on in her life. But she understood that prayer, real prayer, enabled her to see her situation for what it was. And so she lays her situation out before God in prayer. And verse 17, Eli enters into her situation, and Eli answers, "Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, and what a wonderful person she is. She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Now, she did not lash out at Peninnah, and she did not take offense at what Eli said and become irascible and speak in a sinful, derogatory manner to him. And she says, you know, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." I mean, no wonder Elkanah loved her. What a rich spirit. What a wonderful heart she has. What a gracious individual she is in the midst of her suffering. And so this is why, I want you to see the stability of her heart and what God is doing, the blessing of the presence of God with her in her state. So she is not narcissistic and feel that, well, because I'm suffering in this way, I have a right to be disagreeable. I have a right to be abusive to others. She does not feel that way about herself. This is a godly person. This is a person who knows who she is, and she is very aware of what is going on. She has taken decisive action, and she is now in Exodus. She now knows that the way out is prayer. And she has taken her case to God. She will allow God and his power to provide the answer to her situation. She will wait on God. She will confess where she is and why she feels the way she does. She wants the pain to stop. She wants the suffering to cease. Understands that through God, the wind and the waves will obey thy will. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. And so her soul will find its rest in God. She will dwell under the shadow of his wings. She knows that her tears are in his bosom, as the psalmist states. She knows that God will place her feet upon a solid rock. She knows that he is her high tower. She knows that he is her good shepherd. She knows that he is the one who will bring to pass what her heart desires most. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will meet with you next time on the Matacoff. Have a wonderful day.